I want you to be finding Genesis chapter 47. We're closing out our study called The Beginning and the End. And it's appropriate that we would be closing with this particular passage. I want you to look at Genesis 47, beginning in verse 28. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. And the time drew nigh that Israel, that's Jacob, must die. And he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, as a way that they made covenants or agreements in that day. And deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says it is appointed unto a man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And unless you're taken up in the rapture, you're going to die. And death is spoken of a great deal in the book of Genesis. As a matter of fact, the very first death ever recorded is in Genesis when Cain killed Abel. And in chapter 5, God gives us a long list of genealogies, and he says so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and he died, and he begat so-and-so, and he died, and on it goes. In chapter 6, an entire wicked generation is wiped out by a great flood that God sends. And then we began to study about the heroes of the faith in Genesis. So we talked about Sarah, and she died. Abraham, he died. Isaac died. Ishmael died. And on the list goes, and we stood by Jacob at Rachel's tomb when she died, and now we come to this verse where it's time for Jacob or Israel himself to die. Now, I want you to know this is going to be an upbeat message. It's not going to be a downbeat message. You know, in Psalm 116, verse 15, it says, Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, it says, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Some people think awfully somberly about death. I like to read what kids write sometimes. I'm going to tell you what they said. But there's a couple of them that are wrong theologically, but they're kids, okay? In a magazine article, they asked kids 4 through 7 what they thought about death. One of them said, Well, you know, everybody has to die sometime, even if they don't want to. Another said, You know, when you die, God takes care of you like your mother did when you were still alive, only God doesn't yell at you all the time. A third one, and this one's not correct, but he said, You have to be old before you can die. Because God seems to love old people the best. Another one said, God doesn't tell you when you're going to die because he wants it to be a surprise. Another said, only good people go to heaven. The other people go where it's hot all the time, like Florida. Another said, everybody's scared to die except people who are already dead. Another one said, a good doctor can help you so you don't die. Well, we know that's not necessarily true, but here's another one. He says, when you die, you don't have to do your homework, unless your teacher's there already anyway. Another said, grown-ups who smoke die before grown-ups who don't smoke. I guess grown-ups who smoke must be in a hurry to die. And then finally, everyone cries when somebody dies because they don't want. 21 and verse 6, the Lord Jesus said, Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. I want to mention 5 things. that were true in Jacob's death that are going to be true in my death and yours, I hope. The first thing that made his death a blessed death was that he had a forgiving Lord with him. In Genesis 48, verses 1 through 3, and it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, "Behold, thy father is sick." And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And one told Jacob and said, "Behold, thy son Joseph cometh unto thee." And Israel strengthened himself and sat on the bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me." Now, let me kind of tell you what's going on here. It's time for Jacob to die. They tell Joseph that his father's on his sick bed, and Joseph brings two of his sons, Jacob's grandchildren, to see him. And when Jacob hears that they're coming, he sort of gets a surge of strength. And he sits up on his bed and he begins to give them his testimony. You know why? Because on your deathbed, the testimony that you have is the most important thing you've got. And so he starts to tell them, you know, Jacob had been a real rascal for a big part of his life. But then God changed his name from Jacob to Israel, which means prince with God. He met God in a place called Luz, L-U-Z, which means separated. And if there was ever anybody who was separated from God, it was Jacob at that time. He was separated away from home. He was away from his brother. Esau had sworn to kill him as soon as their dad died, because Jacob had cheated Esau out of his birthright. And now he finds himself out in a barren desert with a rock for a pillow, and he's fearful and he's alone. He's hurt others, he's hurt himself, and the Lord meets him there, and he gives him a dream of a ladder that's stretching from earth up into heaven. He sees angels ascending and descending upon this ladder. And God gives Jacob a mighty revelation of himself that night. And when Jacob says, at that time, after he had this dream, Jacob says, "God will be my God." And at that moment, he was saved. That ladder he saw represents Jesus Christ, who's the bridge between us and the Father, the bridge between earth and heaven. Now, that's the first step in dying with grace. And that's to have a forgiving God with you. Now, he knew his sins were under the blood. Yes, he'd been a rascal. But he learned that salvation is not a reward for the righteous. It's a gift for the guilty. How wonderful it is to die when you know that your sins are under the blood of Christ. And if you haven't been saved, you're not ready to die. As a matter of fact, you're not even ready to live. You cannot have dying grace unless you first had saving grace. So the question this morning, as it always is this: are you saved? Here's number two. He had a fruitful life behind him. Genesis 48, verse 4, "And he said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful." And God did make him fruitful. He became such a blessing that he became a blessing to Pharaoh himself. Now, weather-beaten shepherd blessed Pharaoh. Can you imagine that? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 7 gives us something exciting here. You know, in Hebrews 7, 7, it says, "Without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better." That means Jacob is greater than Pharaoh. Yes, he failed God, but God blessed him, and Jacob brought forth all sorts of fruit. Now, you can be saved and not be fruitful. You can go to heaven empty-handed. There's an old song, has a line in it, says, Must I die an empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior so without one soul with which to greet him? Must I empty-handed go? Jacob didn't have to meet the Lord empty-handed. You say, well, what difference does it make? We're saved by grace, not works. Well, you need to understand something. There are going to be degrees of reward in heaven. The Bible teaches that. We're all going to be standing before the Bema Seat of Christ. Now, if you were here during the Bema Seat film, you saw what the judgment or Bema Seat of Christ was going to be potentially like. And the truth is, you may just get there with your coattails smoking. But you're not going to be satisfied that your life went up in flames like wood, hay, and stubble. Revelation 14 and verse 13 says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. Now notice this. And their works do follow them. Good works don't bring you to heaven. Good works follow you to heaven. When Jacob died, he could not only look up to a forgiving Lord, he could look back on a fruitful life. Has your life been fruitful? When it comes time for you to die, are you going to look around and see that mostly you lived your life for junk? What's going to be in your hand when it comes time for you to die? When are you going to start being fruitful? I think we all need to report for duty like the Apostle Paul did. He had asked, who are you, Lord? And then the next thing he asked is, what do you want me to do? God wants you to be fruitful. He has a plan for your life. He's had that plan from before the time he even formed you in your mother's womb. When it came time for Jacob to die, he could look back on a life of fruitfulness for the Lord. You say, well, I don't have to do good works to get to heaven. I just go to heaven by the grace of God. You know what Billy Sunday used to call that? He called that burning the candle of life for the devil and then blowing smoke in the face of God. You don't want to do that, friend. Robert Moffat said, we shall have all eternity in which to celebrate our victories, but only a few short hours before the sun sets to win them. Get busy for the Lord, because you're going to die. And when you die, you want to have a fruitful life behind you. Number three, Jacob's death was a blessed death because he had a family legacy after him. In Genesis 48, verses 4 through 6, and he said unto me, behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land, let's talk about Israel, to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession, and now thy two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, which were born unto thee in the land of Egypt before I came unto thee into Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. And thy issue, which thou begettest after them, shall be thine, and shall be called after the name of their brethren in their inheritance. So he's talking about a family legacy here. Jacob's telling Joseph what his children are going to inherit, and it's primarily spiritual blessings. The rest of chapter 48 and 49 speaks of the blessings that God had for the sons of Jacob. And we don't have time to deal with all of that now, but you get down to Genesis 49, verse 28, and it just sort of sums it all up. It says, all these are the 12 tribes of Israel. The 12 tribes came from the 12 sons of Jacob. All these are the 12 tribes of Israel, And this is that their father spake unto them and blessed them, everyone according to his blessing, he blessed them. Now that means he left something to them besides silver and gold. Jacob had 12 sons. Quite frankly, some of them were mean as snakes. And Jacob kept praying for them. He kept, after he got saved, living a Christian life before them. He kept witnessing to them. He kept admonishing them until he brought them to a faith in his God. He left behind a spiritual blessing for his children. You know, that's a good way to die. Just to think that you were somebody's daddy or somebody's mom, and because of you, they know God in a better way. An old man traveling a lone highway came at evening, cold and gray, to a chasm deep and wide. The old man passed in the twilight dim. The swollen stream held no fears for him, but he turned when he reached the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. Old man, a fellow pilgrim cried, you're wasting your time with building here. Your journey will end at the close of day, and you'll never pass again this way. You've crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you this bridge at eventide? The builder lifted his old gray head. Good friend, on the path I've come, he said, there followed me today a youth whose feet must pass this way. The stream, which has been not to me, may be a pitfall to that fair-haired boy be. You see, he too must cross in the twilight dim. So, good friend, I'm building this bridge for him. I've always wanted to build a bridge for my own children because, like Jacob, I want them to come the way I have come. But not only do I want a forgiving Lord with me, not only do I want a fruitful life behind me, not only do I want a family legacy after me, but like Jacob, I also want a future light before me. Death to him was no leap in the dark. It was a step into the light, and the light was shining brightly around the deathbed of this old saint named Jacob. God had given him a glimpse into the future. He made some of the most amazing prophecies in all of the Bible, and one of them that really stands out is in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10. It says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be. In other words, when Jacob was dying, God revealed to him that Messiah would come. And one of the names for Messiah is Shiloh. It comes from the root word shalom, which means peace. And you know that Shiloh, the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, is known as the Prince of Peace. So on his deathbed, he looks through this tunnel of time. And he sees the Prince of Peace. Now, I'd say that's a good way to die, thinking about the coming Savior. But notice what he saw about Shiloh. He saw his power. How do I say that? Because it says he had a scepter in his hand. The scepter is what the king held in his hand. It was a symbol of power. But he also saw his peace because he calls him Shiloh. He saw his people being gathered to Jesus. He was seeing the second coming, folks. When you know all these things that I've talked about this morning, you can crawl into the grave, pull the dirt up over your face, and take a nap and not worry about anything, right? But there's one more thing about this old saint's death that I want you to see. He had faithful loved ones awaiting him. Look at Genesis 49, verses 29 through 33. It says, and he charged them and said unto them, I am to be gathered unto my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite. In the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre, in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite for a possession of a burying place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The purchase of the field and the cave that is therein was from the children of Heth. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, I love this, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. Isn't that beautiful? Here's a 147-year-old man. He's just finished. So he pulls his feet up, pulls the cover over his feet, smiles in the face of God, and he just goes to glory. He's done. I like that last phrase. And he was gathered unto his people. What a blessing. There was a great family reunion in heaven that day. Abraham, Isaac, and now Jacob. They're all there. You say, boy, that must have been something. I sure liked to have been there and listen to them talk. Well, let me tell you something, just blow you off your pew this morning, all right? It's found in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, and it's Jesus speaking. And he says, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. One of these days, yeah, I mean, when he says people be gathered from the west, that's us, folks. So one of these days you're going to be able to sit down and get a cup of tea with Jacob and listen to him talk all you want. But you're going to be gathered to your own loved ones. The ones who were saved anyway. And what a wonderful way to die. Jacob was gathered to his people for a great family reunion. No wonder God says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And we sing about it. By and by, when the morning comes, we'll be gathered home. Won't that be an exciting day? I can't wait. But the reason I have no fear of death is because I know with an absolute certainty where I'm going to go when I die. Do you? I hope you do. If you don't, you can know this morning. You simply have to surrender your life, every bit of it. You have to surrender all that you are to all of him. Take the control, the hands off your life. Place that life in his hands. Paul says in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, that that's your reasonable service. Considering what he's done for you, giving your life to him, that's your reasonable service. Our musicians are going to come. We're going to prepare for a time of invitation. There's a lot of familiar faces here. I see you in church all the time. But you know what? That doesn't really mean anything. You may have your name on the church roll. You may serve in this place or that place. But, you know, none of that's really all that important. What's important is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? That's all that matters. That's all that matters. Because without that, you're not going to be a part of that reunion. You say, oh, I believe in God. It's not what I'm talking about. The devil believes in God. He's not going to be there either. I'm talking about the kind of belief that changes who you are. That's why Paul wrote in, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone be in Christ, they're a new creature. A new creature. Are you a new creature? It says, old things are passed away, and behold, everything has become new. Does that describe your life? There's everything pretty much the same as it's always been. And you're the one that's going to have to decide the answer to those questions. Are you saved? If not, you can be. Gary, what are we going to sing? 198. 198's song, Let's Stand. If you need to surrender your life to Christ today, do it, and there's going to be a celebration in this place if you do. See, a lot of times people are afraid of making that decision because of what people are going to think. I'm going to tell you what these people think. They're going to get excited. They're going to get excited if you give your heart to Jesus. That's the way we operate around here. That's the way we roll. Okay? So if you need to come, you come today.
Oh, so
Father, we thank you so much that you're willing to come for us and to die for us and take on all of our punishment so that we could come into a right relationship with the Father. Then you offer it to us as a gift. We just have to take it. I pray if they're lost here today, Lord, that they will not wait too long, that they will take this free gift of eternal life. Thank you for it. Thank you for the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Terry wants to say something. Okay. It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. So me and Gary was talking the other day. Gary and I was talking the other day. And we're planning on having one Saturday morning at 7:30 at the IHOP down on 360. So I challenge everybody to try to be there and start the new year off.
Yeah, it's a great time. Did everybody hear that?
What time?
Yeah. What's it? 7:30.
Okay.
7:30. That's this coming Saturday.
All the women would remind us the night before.
Yeah. And kick us out of bed at the right time. Let's join hands as we dismiss.
We are one.